Hey guys, how's it going? It's your girl Tinky Bell here, and it is Manga Monday, meaning that it is Manga Review Monday, and we are going to be going back to Nambaka. Last time we did chapters 10 through 17, so now we're going to be doing we're going to start from chapter 18 and see where we actually go down the line. I think I stated I was only going to go 9 chapters. I really do wish I planned these things a lot better than what I actually do now. So yeah, I said we were going to be doing 9 chapters, I believe. 9. Yep, I was right. So that means we're going to be stopping at, if I did this correctly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we should be stopping at chapters like chapters 18 through 25. So I did try to record this previously, but I had some interruptions, so I'm basically just going to give a massive recap from what I remember, mostly from the anime as well from what I read. We start off with chapter 18 pretty much with Nico coming back from his cell because he forgot his meds. And really, he's basically talking to himself saying like, you know, I almost forgot my meds. That's kind of dangerous. I didn't think we'll be staying outside all day in the field. And that's when he sees just another inmate basically floating in midair. Cuts back to where everybody else is at. Nico runs up to Hajime, explaining to Hajime like, you are not going to believe what I found. I saw this dude floating in on air, and Hajime is just telling Nico, okay, we'll figure it out in the long run, until we learn that we are going into the next game of the tournament where it's basically nothing but Beyblade. You know how when you push your Beyblade and you pretty much just have to knock your opponent off, or you just have to knock your opponent to stop? That's basically what this is. And you know, when we finally get introduced to who we're going to be fighting, it's Building 5 versus Building 13, obviously. And one of the inmates that Nico saw is there. And Nico is just, like, punches Hajime like, dude, that's the guy I saw that was floating. Grabs Hajime and throws him down the stage, as in, we're gonna get a better look at this. And pretty much that's how this tournament really starts off. And you know, basically the entire game with Nico is just really Nico fangirling, so there really isn't a lot to say when it comes to Nico. I think most of the serious lore parts really comes from Hajime and Salmon, who is Building 5's supervising officer. Salmon never really liked Hajime, and it's not really explained why, but Salmon definitely felt like Hajime lied on his report. If you can't remember, I did talk about in one of the episodes, I believe it was on, I think it was like chapter 1, or no, it was chapter 2, where Hajime was kind of going into the war, where it was the second episode of Manga Monday, where Hajime has to give the reports to the warden basically about the inmates in his building, more specifically the cell 13, because they've been acting oddly in the clear, and the warden just didn't know why. So when he gave out the report, this kind of led Salmon to be very curious. Like, there's no way that these guys are just staying in the clear, because the way that Hajime is acting towards them is like, this is normal. So that's a little bit of the lore. Also, if we're going to talk about Nico and them, I just wanted to put out what's super duper funny. What's really hilarious about this is the fact that Nico is really fangirling because all the anime fighting that he has watched is kind of being referenced to in this manga. So Nico was just saying like, yo Hajime, like, one of the inmates did the kamehameha, and Nico starts doing like a whole bunch of other like anime reference fighting moves, And Rock, Jugo, and Uno are just like censoring and bleeping and pixelating all of this stuff, because it's like, hey, we don't want people to get triggered, so we gotta kind of do this. But that's basically the entire tournament arc, especially from chapters like 18 and 19. That's kind of really just what's basically going on. So now we're in chapter 20, Turbulence, the New Year's Tournament, part 6. I'm just giving you guys like little cliff notes. I can't really go too much in depth because it's really simple to kind of talk about it. So yeah, so starting when we start chapter 20, you know, Upa, the inmate that Nico saw, is like really kind of impressed to, you know, of Nico, of how he can withstand Upa's like strength, and as well as I guess Upa's powers or whatever. And you know, Nico, taking that as a compliment, being the anime like fanboy that he is, ask like Upa, yo, can I be your disciple? Because he is, because apparently Upa is a Qui-Gon master. Please tell me I'm saying that right. I'm probably saying it wrong. And really, like, Upa's goal is to have like a disciple, a talented disciple, to raise him and to be a successor. And again, he goes like, please, I want to do it, like, I want to be important and everything. And so, and I think this is like where we actually get to see what Nico's goal is. So yeah, there we go. So Nico's entire goal is really to get the latest game system. That's all he wants. He states like, In the first place, it's not fair we have manga and magazines, but no video games. I want to tell everyone in this prison, anime, games, and manga are what makes this world go round, and this is the otaku's dreamland, Japan. With a game, you can experience the wonderful world of 2D. You can go on an adventure, race, and fall in love in the comfort of your own cell. Is there any other item that is as magnificent as this? So if you have a TV, you should be playing games. If you have the time, you should be playing games. The game. And basically, this kind of like gets the other inmates' attention. Like, oh, so like a game console. Like, that's actually pretty interesting. I wouldn't mind playing a few games and everything else. And that's kind of like Nico's goal, really. And Upa's like, okay, that all depends on if you can beat me. If you win, you can talk about all you want. And Nico says, like, then if I win, you'll make me your disciple. And of course, Upa's like, if you can beat me, then maybe. Going back to Hajime and Salmon, pretty much, it's just a wreck. Hajime is really just giving, like, Salmon just his own piece of his mind. Like, the two of them are seriously, really going completely at it and getting absolutely destroyed. But in the end, they win, because Nico does like this crazy intense move, and for some reason it just works. So that's chapter 20. Like, now we're getting into the more interesting part, which is the one I'm really going to pay attention to kind of the most. So in episode, now we have 20.5 and 20 point, like in this little special chapter, we're still getting we're still having like Jugo and Uno. Basically, they escaped prison and they're kind of like just roaming sort of free, becoming like super duper friends. And this is kind of where they meet Rock, where he accidentally crashes into them, he feels bad, and really it's because he wants food and he's basically like leaving. yeah, so that's kind of like where this new one really is. So here, we actually have a character design. I totally forgot about this. So in the manga, they also gave you like initial character designs on some information. I'm pretty sure most mangas do that as well. So for this one, we have the characters we come to know look dramatically different. This could have been what Jugo and the others look like. Here are the initial character designs along with some Futama-sen's comments. So obviously he should stand out the most, but he's designed to be plain and let the others stand out. Escape art is extraordinaire. No tears. His nails were magenta instead of black. Initially a gray prison suit, but it was too plain, so it was scrapped. Pretty much we're talking about Jugo here. This is really Jugo's character design I am talking about. Jugo was supposed to have tan skin, black hair, and no piercings. He also was supposed to have stitches on his face, but the creator decided that Nico was going to have the tan skin instead, so it was scrapped to avoid similar looking characters. Basically, here is the story of number 15, aka Jugo. He is the main character, so the cliche black and white prison suit was decided on immediately. Black can match with anything and make other colors stand out. His main color is black, so he can make any character stand out. His face didn't look that interesting, so I gave him large scornful eyes with dark eyeline for impact. And that was Jugo. Now we're on to Uno. So for Uno's character, with the least changes, Uno was Uno from the beginning. Lots of accessories added later, a gambler that loves ladies. Inmate number was on the palm of his hand instead of the back and he had shorter hair. The creator said that he wanted a character wearing a cap from the beginning, so he just searched for the best matching hairdo. The creator made him look charming and friendly with long lashes and senpaku eyes. So now we're getting the story of number 11, aka Uno. Uno's design and details were pretty much determined with the first drawing. His main colors were blue and light blue, so I drew his parts and placed other colors to match them. Rather than just using blue to make him look fresh, I wanted him to be flashy. So not only does he have pretty blonde hair, but dark magenta mixed in. He has large eyes and long lashes to make his face stand out. Then we have Nico, the character that changed the most. The sickly look hasn't changed. Nico had an eye patch and gloves instead of bandages. The most powerful and valid. The bandage arms and legs were reversed. The creator said I was aiming for him to look pretty, but he didn't look like he stand out, so I changed his face to make him look younger. I didn't think the pretty look would go with the orange jumpsuit anyway. The story of inmate number 25, aka Nico. Compared to the other characters, he has the most neon colors. But he'll look energetic and healthy if I use too many bright colors, so I toned it down a bit. I like the combination of the muddle green and a light yellow on his hair. In the end, this is a character full of contradictions. He's full of vitality, yet he is sick. And then we have our last character. Our last character, Rock. Rock looking frivolous and less beastly. Creator said he looked frivolous in hair and had glaring eyes. Oversized jumpsuit with pants sagging a bit. The gluttonous gangsta. Creator said based on the concept that he loves to eat and exercise, I initially envisioned a sports-loving youth. He looked too eloquent and looked like a main character, so it was scrapped. The number of 69, or in other words, Rock. I envisioned a beastly looking guy with a ravenous look and aggressive hairstyle and color. The eloquent looking face didn't suit a prisoner, and I wanted at least one wild looking character. So I added many gang related visual elements. He's overall manly, so I added trivial accessories to make him look somewhat playful. And that's it. That's volume 2 of Nonbaka, which stops at 20.5. But we're not going to be done because this podcast is going to end at 25. So we're on chapter 21 right now. So we basically have 1, 2, 3, 4 more chapters to go until I end it. And, yeah, that's basically the end of Nico's story for the tournament arc and everything else. So now we get the introduction of our warden, who is a female, as well as the warden's friend, the announcer dude. And it pretty much just starts off with, like, the... Now, keep in mind, let me do a little recap. The warden does have a crush on Hajime, but Hajime doesn't know, and everyone is pretty much scared of the warden because she's freaking terrifying. But the only person that I really know is the announcer dude, who is kind of like, I guess you would say that they're like best friends. And it pretty much just starts off with, like, the warden saying, like, can you, like, be quiet? You're, like, super duper loud. And it turns out the warden is, I think, either buying or looking at a magazine for sweets and everything else. And that's when, you know, we learn a little bit more about what the warden is thinking. So basically the warden's explaining why they hold the New Year's tournament. Which is, we hold the New Year's tournament at the start of the year along with changing their minds. We need to show the inmates our guards' strength, the tremendous abilities and mental strength of our officers. The inmates will feel them firsthand. That's Namba's way of educating them. And pretty much, it kind of just has the announcer dude teasing the warden punching the dude, and just chasing her. Oh man, it's I love these two. Like, it's hilarious, man. It is just really, really hilarious. So now we're going. I'm sorry, I thought I heard the house phone ringing. Anyway, so now we're switching gears, and we are now back to Salmon, as well as his, I guess, helper of the supervisor's helper. And basically, it's pretty much just having, like, his coworker just teasing Salmon, saying, like, yo, you got beat pretty badly. Like, pretty beat. And it's basically them really just kind of like just talking about, you know, inmates. Well, they're talking about the inmates of cell 13 or just how accurate they are and how much, like, Hajime is, like, the way Hajime is kind of watching over them. Like, they seem kind of suspicious, but, you know, what can they do about it? They don't have really any information. So now we have the final event, the sake barrel opening. And that is the main event of the New Year's tournament. The first team to open this specially made Namba Prison sake barrel wins. You will enter as a two-man team consisting of one guard and one inmate. And of course, Jugo is like, sake opening at the end, huh? Well, I guess that's fits the new year. So he turns over and he's just like, so which one of you guys are going? Which kind of just leads Rock and Uno to kick Jugo, saying like, you're the main character, get your butt in here. Namba Prison loves breaking the fourth wall sometimes. Which leaves Jugo like yelling at them like, you guys have no motivation. And Rock just is like, look who's talking. Like, you know what I mean? So this just kind of just leaves Hajime just saying like, I guess I go in two and everything else. And Kenshiro is just like laughing at Hajime like, I lost last year, but that won't happen this year. You must enter. Which kind of just irritates, like, Hajime so bad. Oh yeah, Kenichiro is building 5 supervising officer. This is really gonna be kind of hard, but hopefully, like, the more I talk about them, the more people will understand where I don't have to keep saying their titles. But I only do it for so long that I'm just gonna call them by their actual name. Water. Break. Okay. So here's the thing. Kenichiro, Buildings 5 supervising officer, is pretty upset with Hajime because the warden, because here's the thing. Kenichiro has a crush on the warden, but the warden has a crush on Hajime. Hajime doesn't know, and Hajime is terrified of the warden. So Kenichiro is pretty upset with Hajime because the warden likes him. And the warden sees Kenichiro sees the warden as this beautiful, adorable, innocent lamb, and Hajime just sees a demon. So it's kind of funny because both Jugo and Hajime are now fighting together, and Jugo's complaining like, I'm teaming up with you, man, this is the worst. And Hajime's like, that's my line, you think I wanted to enter twice in a row? Like, no way. So that's when we get another situation where the inmate that Kenichiro has knows Jugo, and Jugo is looking at this inmate in anger, and the inmate's name is Musashi. This is where I'm really gonna get into it, because it is plot time. It is time to get into some lore. So now we're in chapter 22, Turbulence, the New Year's Tournament, part 8. It has Jugo asking Musashi, like, what is he even doing here? And Musashi's like, I'm an adequate inmate just like you. And Hajime just questions Jugo, like, you know him? Like, I guess it happens, but how do you know him? And Jugo responds, like, he was my cellmate in a different prison back in the day. And this just leaves Jugo to be really, really mad. He tells Musashi, like, my life was a disaster because of you. You're lucky, don't give me that crap. And he's like, and Musashi's being so condescending the entire time. And Hajime is just telling, like, Jugo, get it together. You gotta pull yourself, man. Like, don't let him get to you. But Jugo's, like, irritated. Like, I know what you want me to do. And the two of them just start going ham. Musashi makes the first, like, move and pretty much just starts trying to beat the mess out of Jugo. And Musashi's like, that's all it takes for you to shrink back? You're getting pretty rusty, eh, Jugo? What happened to your fierceness? That fierceness you had when you destroyed my eyes. So there's a little bit of lore right there. Like, just saying. And it kind of just throws back to really Kenichiro and Hajime kind of fighting. Hajime is really just trying to win this thing, or at least get this thing over with. And Kenichiro's entire goal is to get the warden to really notice him, really. And, bro... This is what I mean by, like, this thing has comedy. Because Hajime just pulls out, like, some guns. And, you know, Kenichiro's like, why do you have guns? Guns are only permitted to certain personnel. You're not cleared out to carry one. But then there's just a box that just says, please, help yourself to some deadly weapons for this tournament. So it's pretty much explained that this year they added an item box where they're basically free to use whatever is in the box, and everything is, like, not real, they're just fake, so everything is kind of just safe. But Hajime's like, I don't care, as long as I get to get this what dudes like assholes I like care about. But back to Jugo and Musashi, you know, basically Musashi is just basically destroying Jugo, trying to get Jugo's shackle. If you don't understand that, if you haven't watched or at least listened to the other podcast of Manga Monday, Jugo has these shackles on both of his wrists, on both of his ankles, and on his neck, and he cannot take it off. He doesn't know who put them on him. He was falling asleep one night and then boom, he just had these shackles on. The only thing Jugo remembers is the man with the three scars on his neck, and that's and basically Jugo has been trying to find this guy, so he's been escaping prisons, and the only prison that's left is Namba Prison. And Musashi wants the black shackles. Jugo is like, bro, you still haven't given that up. He like literally, if I could give him to you, I would give them to you, but I cannot unlock them. I may be a famous escape artist, but these are the only things that I cannot escape from. And really, it's really just has... Okay, Musashi really just starts really like trying to poke at Jugo. Basically just trying to get him riled up. You know, trying to get Jugo to finally unleash this fierceness that he's that he had. And that's when Jugo officially snaps, because Musashi states, is it the man with the scar of his neck? Are you saying that? And that's when Jugo is like, do you know the man with the three scars? Do you know the man who put these shackles on me? And he starts getting super duper upset. And you basically learn that Musashi has the powers of like fire and everything else, and starts like blasting Jugo with like these fireballs, and everyone is in shock, from the prisoners, the inmates, to the guards, to the warden. They're like, how in the world is this even possible? But Jugo has completely lost it, because now Jugo has turned into this, I don't want to call him a monster, but basically he turns into this whole new type of person, because now he has, what you call it, he has like these swords and everything. So going into chapter 23, we have two more chapters after this and then I'll cut it off. But it starts with a spontaneous human combustion, a phenomenon where a human body bursts into flame. In some cases, the only remaining parts of the burnt body were feet. Some die with only the lower half of their body intact. Many memories have been offered to explain this phenomenon. Plasma ignition theory, the wicked effect, pyrophoric chemicals in the genes, etc. But the truth is still unknown. And this is where we get part 9. And this is where the lore really begins, because Jugo will not forgive the man who bounded him from freedom and tampered with my structure. He cannot forgive a man like that, because Jugo is broken because of the man with the three scars. And he starts slashing everything. Like, Jugo was like OP, man. He's in his anger, he's really upset, he's kind of fighting off his emotions, and really everyone, like all of his friends, Rock, Nico, and Uno, are just watching this in shock, and they're questioning, like, is that really Jugo? Only to learn that Jugo just did a massive slice in the arena. And the warden is just really curious, like, number 15 shackles have mutated? What is that form? A weapon? A human? Like, she's never heard of an inmate with having such an ability. Just who in the world is he? And that's when, basically, she commands the guards, like, yo, pause this tournament. Apprehend the both of them, because we need to figure out what's going on. And she's like, there is no rhyme or reason to their powers. Capture them and reveal their true identities. And of course, Musashi's like, please, dude, I don't really want to have any interruptions when I'm just being serious right about now. He's like, I'll provide you all the data you want to. And he just starts like throwing fire just at the guards. And he just goes completely ham. But really, Jugo's main thing is like, I'm going to kill you. So Jugo tells Musashi, like, tell me about that guy. Or do you want to lose your arm like you lost your eyes? So we kind of start learning, like, you know, that day, Jugo did actually take Musashi's eyes. Musashi must have said something or did something and snapped Jugo, where basically Jugo, like, just slashed up Musashi's eyes and just ran off. And Musashi is just like, I don't care. I'm going to either get your shackles or I'm going to kill you. Either way it goes, we both are going down. One or together. And the rest of the guards really just try to like apprehend them as much as possible. But Musashi really just doesn't care. Musashi just really just cares about Jugo. And you know, that's when Musashi is like, all of you guys, all of you guards are a bunch of weaklings. But the warden is like, don't insult us as calling us weaklings. Because us guards are more powerful and scary than you think. And pretty much, that's basically what happens. The guards all work together to try to stop Musashi and Jugo. Oh boy. All right, chapter 24. The final one. So pretty much it kind of has really, I believe in the next two chapters, but in this chapter, this is kind of where, while the guards are trying to apprehend Jugo and Musashi, really Rock and Uno was like, bro, we're not gonna run away when Jugo's like down there literally losing control. No way, we're gonna go down there and we're gonna try to like our very best to at least help. And pretty much that's basically like what they do. But well, at least not yet, because that's when Hajime comes in and starts like trying to like harm Jugo and ask him like, what are you even after? Like, you finally revealed your true nature. Like, I want you to answer me. And this is kind of where Rock and Uno really just, like, stop him. You know what I mean? Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you're gonna get in serious... Like, Rock is like, you guys are gonna get in serious trouble. You know what I mean? But Jugo's not really listening. He's, like, in his complete emotions of wondering, where is the man with the three scars on the back of his neck? Where is he? That's all I care about. That's all that's clouding my initial judgment. And this is when he was about to like literally like he was about to slash and like Uno and Rock in half until Hajime stops it. You know, and oh, I'm sorry, Aaron. He stops it and he starts beating the mess out of like Jugo. He starts literally beating the mess out of him. And Uno is watching this in a very like troubled manner. You know what I mean? And it really like it, because now I'm remembering most of the stuff from the anime and really it's kind of heartbreaking. But going into the last chapter, then I'm gonna turn this off. In the last chapter, all the guards are just like, are you crazy? You literally could have killed him and you increased our work because you decided that you were going to murder your own inmate. And so, and you kind of learn that everyone, well, not everyone, but more specifically Uno is really upset with Hajime, because when Hajime leaves and goes in the building, he's like, hey punks, you better behave today. And then he just gets hit in the face. And Uno is just going off on him, like, you dare to show your face here after everything you've done? Like, you're a demon, you're a devil. And Uno and Nika are like, dude, can you stop that? But Uno doesn't care. Like, he's in his complete, he's really upset with Hajime, because he starts like telling Hajime, like, you tried to kill Jugo, he's unconscious right now, you broke his bones, you made him vomit blood. Is it because your job and anything goes, you're gonna kill someone if that's your job? Only to learn that Hajime's like, I will kill if that is my entire goal and that's my job, which really pisses off like Uno. And Nico and Rock is just like, just slightly disappointed. Nico was just like, oh man, really? And so this is kind of where, like, this is kind of where Uno says the most bombest thing. Like, if your friends can roast you but still have your back after everything that's happening, this is like an Uno award that I like to call it. Because Hajime says, but I did go overboard this time, I wasn't trying to kill him, he'll probably wake up in 2 or 3 days. But of course, you know, Uno slaps Hajime's hand and says he's a stick in the mud and has the worst handwriting. He's not good at math and can't play any sports. He's clueless when it comes to recreational activities. He can't do anything besides escape from prison. The idiot. But he understands us more than anyone else. He understands people. If you believe Jugo is only a monster, then I think you're the one who's the real monster. And that kind of leaves a big fat gray scale on the atmosphere, because Sitaru comes up and is like, how are the guys in cell 13? And Hajime is just says, I got kicked out. And of course Sitaru's like, what, they kicked you out? That's like super unusual. And of course this is where, you know, Hajime kind of just says, like, after criticizing me as much as he wanted, he told me to get out, that arrogant brat. But do you, like, in the course of Taro's asking, like, don't you think it's because of Jugo? And this is where we kind of learn that Uno says, like, I knew I could never like the guards. And this is where it gets funny, because then announcer dude comes up to Hajime and is like, hey dude, I got something I gotta tell you. You're suspended for 3 days, bro. You got some type of penalty, so you took things way too far. Have fun. And that's basically the entire chapter of not the entire chapter, but that's basically the end of volume 3. The next chapter, we will begin volume 4, but we will be at chapter 2.5. So, you know what? I'll do like a little extra chapter before we get to chapter like 26. It's 2.5. So, let's see. In 2.5, it's really just, again, this is kind of where they actually meet Nico and just see just like how much of like an adorable little person that he is, even though he's like super suspicious. They kind of realize, oh, you're like sick and everything, but like we want you to be our friend. And that's basically just the next one, and that's pretty much just it. So next chapter will be on chapter 26, so that'll be So then that'll be 26. So we will be from, I think, 26 to 30, I believe. Or wait, 26. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So 34 or 35. But I hope you guys really enjoyed this this late night Manga Monday review. I'm really sorry if it's super duper crappy. I just didn't really get off on a good start. Hopefully tomorrow I do get on a good start. But I will see you guys later. I hope you guys have a fantastic night or fantastic day. Bye.